Jesus said, "I am the gate." Now, I'm going to tell you some farm stories here, and there's going to be some pictures of gates. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer. They're all from Google, because growing up, there was a house fire, and it completely burned down the house, and it destroyed all of the pictures. And from that point on, my parents never took pictures. So there's only about 4 pictures of me growing up in the farm. So this will help you with your imagination, but they're not actually of our farm, okay? So growing up on the farm, I have both fond and scary memories of gates and being a human gate. One of my earliest memories is climbing up on the bars of a large 20-foot metal gate. And I would hold on tight, and Dad would swing the gate open, and gravity would swing it back, and I would giggle and squeal with delight, asking my dad to swing it faster and faster. And I quickly learned the chaos that can result from leaving a gate wide open or unsecure. Even if you would travel back in just a few minutes, you needed to take that time to secure the gate, because cows had this extra sense to know when that gate wasn't secure. And they would get out, and then you'd have to deal with the mess of a cattle stampede for the rest of the day. Now, when I was older, I found it to be a complete hassle and waste of time to open a gate and then drive through it with the four-wheeler. So I measured the height of the handlebars and added just a few inches, and that's where I strung the wire across for the gate. And if you got your speed just right and you leaned back flat on the seat, you could do a limbo underneath the gate. But if you're a little bit off or hit a bump, you would fall off into a mud puddle. Or if you rose up a little bit too fast, you would catch that gate a lot of times right here, and you'd rip out that wire gate. Now, gates protected the animals from danger, from ruining their food, and sorted them into the best areas for their age and needs. Gates nurtured pasture until it was at the peak of tastiness. Then they opened for the animals to enjoy. Gates protected crops and kept the animals from eating our garden. And gates even kept a rebellious, I think I was 3 or 4 when I always wanted to try to sneak off to the lake for a swim. But my parents quickly put a gate around, an fence around that lake. When sorting animals or crossing a road, that's when a human gate was needed. And often this worked pretty well. You know, a single person with their arms waving in just the right manner with the right tone of voice would keep the animals moving along in the right direction. However, if you're off just a little bit, or if the animal realized that, hey, I weigh 1,400 pounds, and this guy over here weighs 160 pounds, that I can run right through them, then you need to know when to abandon your role as a human gate, climb that fence post, and hold on as 50 animals storm past you, shielding your eyes from the flying dirt and coughing from the dust. Now, being a human gate in the barn was the most dangerous spot of all. Often a cow there would decide to run through you. So we actually installed a bar right above our heads where we did the sorting. And we were all quite fast at doing a pull-up and then balancing on top of that bar as the cow ran underneath us. Of course, if we gave up our post, that meant a lot more work. We had to find that animal, sort them out from 200 other animals, and get them back to their home. So I remember many a standoff, looking that cow in the eye as we sized each other up. And I was determined not to abandon my role as a human gate, to spend all that extra time. But, you know, the cow saw an opportunity here to show me who was really in control. And a few times I stuck with it just a little bit too long. But thankfully, I was always quick enough to at least jump and kind of do a leapfrog off the head of the cow, because you don't want the alternative. Trust me. So that brings us back to Jesus. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and all who come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is our living gate, keeping us safe, setting us free, opening our lives to God's blessings of abundant life. At night or whenever there was danger, shepherds herded their sheep into a canyon, cave, corral, or any place where there was only one entrance. And then the shepherd was the human gate. The shepherd stood in that opening, protecting the sheep from predators and danger. Jesus is our shepherd, always traveling with us, no matter where we go. Even if we rebel and go where God warns us not to go, Jesus is still with us. Jesus is always inviting us to safety. Once safe, Jesus is the gate that protects us, that holds back evil, darkness, fear, and hate. Jesus is our shepherd and our gate. We can trust that God's unfailing love and protection will always be present. Jesus, our gate, opens to provide physical sustenance and spiritual nurture. Jesus, our gate, closes to protect us from harm. Ultimately, no thief can rob us of eternal abundant life. The most destructive thief of all is death. And death tried to steal life. And death at times appears to succeed. However, ultimately, resurrection life always prevails. Jesus laid down his life, so death is only a fleeting pause as Jesus rises and opens our gate to eternal life in heaven. Jesus is the gate to God's house, to the joy of God's family, and to the banquet feast. On earth, Jesus, our gate, bestows freedom. Jesus helps us come and go. Sometimes we go out and we get ourselves in trouble, make mistakes, make a mess, get confused, lost, and stuck. So Jesus carries us to safety, closes that gate, bails us out of trouble, forgives our mistakes, cleans up our mess, gives us clarity, shows us the way, and gives us strength for our journey. Then Jesus opens wide the gate for our next adventure. Sometimes we go out and we get hurt, or we become overwhelmed with grief. We cry and lose hope. So Jesus once again carries us to safety, closes the gate, heals our hurt, shows us the peace of resurrection life, comforting us by revealing every love endures forever, dispersing our grief, wipes away every tear, and fills us with hope, dreams, and aspirations. Our gate, Jesus, opens wide once again, and sometimes we go out and become afraid, or we hate, or we become anxious, or worry, or we become sad. So Jesus carries us to safety, closes that gate, graciously removes the fear and hate, filling us with love, removes anxiety and worry with trust in God's abundant giving, removes our sadness and completes us by giving us the joy of God, the joy that laughs and hugs, the very joy that brought all of the cosmos into existence. And this happens again and again throughout our life. Now, on a more positive note, sometimes we follow Jesus through the gate of love and service where Jesus cheers for us. Sometimes we come to Jesus and pray for him to close the gate for a while so that the world is left outside so we can rest in God's embrace and be filled with wonder and delight in life. Other times we follow Jesus through the gate and we enjoy God's abundant blessings. Jesus, our gate, knows exactly when to close to protect and heal us, and when to open to send us out to grow in love and joy. Jesus knows when to get us, when to carry us home, and when we need to be encouraged, nudged, or maybe even pushed out into the world to try something new. God made the cosmos so we can respond to God's love, so our minds can grow with creativity, our hearts can flourish with joy, and our souls dance with love for each other and God. Jesus opens up everything to us so we can experience abundant life. God's desire for each of us is to enjoy abundant life. Now, Jesus' original audience viewed the gate as the law, as the Torah. If you kept the law, then God opened the gate and blessed you. The gate then was official approval from the temple authorities. Jesus has just opened wide the gate, healing a blind man in our scripture immediately before Jesus' words to us this morning. The Pharisees considered themselves to be the gatekeepers, and the Pharisees considered this blind man to be a sinner, undeserving of healing. So the Pharisees slammed shut the gate, excluding him. The Pharisees were attempting to do the same to Jesus, whom they perceived to be a lawbreaker because he healed on the Sabbath. Jesus' response is today's scripture, where Jesus declares that he is the gate, the only giver of abundant life. The Pharisees, they built a wall around the law, so questions and interpretations of the law had to go through them so that they could be the gatekeepers. They wanted life to be black and white, whatever they said. They controlled the gate, who could enter the temple. They controlled the gate of who could enjoy community and privilege. Access to the temple meant access to God, which meant access to forgiveness and blessings. Their gatekeeping was great for the insider, for those who could afford the endless offerings and sacrifices, those of wealth and status, those who could at least reveal the illusion that they were keeping the law. The gatekeeping became a huge burden for those outside, for those who did not have means, for those who could not keep the law for a variety of reasons. Therefore, many of the people lost all hope of connecting with God. Jerusalem itself was a huge gate, a symbol of the inequality of the insiders and outsiders. Jerusalem was circled by an outer wall, intermediately marked with large gates through which passage was controlled. At the center was the temple, which had several rings of walls. And the Pharisees kept all of these gates, judging who could get into the temple, who could get closer and closer to God. And only a chosen few were allowed into the Holy of Holies, where they believed God nourished and blessed the entire cosmos. The more gates you could get through, the closer you could get to God, and the more blessings you would receive. Jesus tore down all of these walls and opened all of these gates. Jesus is the only true gate. Jesus graciously opens wide the gate to all who desire to be blessed by God. When Jesus died, there was an earthquake that shook down these walls and sprung open all of these gates. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two. Jesus swung wide the gate, giving VIP all access to all who follow him. In the very beginning, Jesus was the gate who opened wide all of heaven, creating light, life, and every blessing. Sadly, throughout the ages, people again and again have attempted to exclude some from God. But Jesus keeps opening up these gates. Today, people are still trying to take Jesus' place as a gatekeeper, declaring that you only get through the gate to God if you have certain works or certain beliefs or do certain rituals, declaring that you only get through the gate to God if you live a certain way or belong to a certain religious group, declaring that you only get through the gate to abundant life if you have power, money, or certain looks. Jesus is the gracious gate. All who desire to follow him go through to abundant eternal life. Jesus affirms our desire for a well-lived life. Jesus is working to help us experience full life as God intended. Jesus warns us that others will claim that they or that something can be the gate, that there are other ways to happiness or to fulfillment or abundant life, but not money, power, politics, grades, looks, status, drugs, thrills, sex, clubs, hobbies, games, sports, Facebook, fitness, Twitter, food, entertainment, degrees, art, awards, music, stuff, technology, lifestyle, clothes, popularity, relationships, and on, nothing, absolutely nothing, other than Jesus, is the gate to abundant life. Only Jesus is that gate. A few communities recognize that Jesus is the gracious gate, and the Apostle Paul describes them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Those who recognize Jesus as the gate are filled with joy, awe, goodwill for all people, and praise for God. Amen.